Good morning. Welcome to the Roundtable panel for this Tuesday morning. It's the 22nd of September. Happy fall. Right?
Yes.
Fall.
At 4:30 tomorrow.
4:30 tomorrow
there.
Morning. Yeah, we're pretty much there.
Oh,
so
no.
It'll be very autumnal.
Oh no, not already.
Yeah. This.
My mother notes that fall always comes in exactly on schedule. Why can't summer and spring do that?
That's a very good point. It's a very, very good point.
When are you bringing your mother? She sounds so much, you know, so good. When are she going
to
be ready?
I do have to bring her in.
Yeah,
yes.
We want to hear from her because she knows so much.
I think she's afraid of you.
Well, good reason.
I want to introduce our panel, but they're not properly mic'd yet. So let me first. No, that's okay. Well, yeah, we'll do that.
That's a pun on.
Yeah, Mike isn't Mike, but we'll do our business and then we'll mic you and then we'll be all set. So the business at hand is our lockbox. We want to bring you up to date on the lockbox and tell you what's happening. So what's happening? Felicia Burke is with us and is here to tell us what is happening.
So what's happening is we're at $104,065.04.
Did we go over yesterday?
Did we go over?
$200,000 mark?
We did. Over the weekend we made.
Oh, great.
We got over there.
Okay.
Yeah, so we are $3,500 up from yesterday, which is pretty good for a day, right? Mm-hmm. And we really want to make $300,000 in this locked box before the fund drive starts in 13 days.
Hmm.
So.
How do we do that?
Well, we hope that people will pledge a little, a lot, and I think this will help as an incentive. If we can collectively raise that $300,000, we are going to douse Alan with ice-cold water.
But Ray Graff, when I told him about this morning, he said people die of that all the time. See, people can die. You can die of it. You can have heart failure as a result of doing that.
It's cold water.
I said, no, it's ice water. And I said, I'm willing to do it. For the good of the cause.
How much would you
I'm
give to possibly
it.
Kill Alan? That's our come on.
Yeah, that's it.
Mm-hmm. So
that's what we've come to, Rosemary.
That's it. Okay,
your supporters and your detractors.
Can I just say that during the fund drive itself, we've been making about $100,000 a day. So we should be able to do this. If people really mean, and I don't know that they do, that they'd rather have less fund drive. Then the thing to do now is to put something, go to WAMC.org and put something in the locked box. On the other hand, if, as I suspect, people really love the fund drive, it's a place where we all get together, it's like going back to camp, you see here the same names, you see your old friends, and we have, you know, you hear the same stories, and all of those things, singing the same songs, all of those are good things. And I suspect that, because I don't want anybody coming up to me in the street and saying, why do we have to do this, you know, why do we have to do this fund drive? I say, did you put any money in the lockbox? No. Well, then, okay, then don't complain. It's that simple. Look, folks, it's where we live. We're all together in this. We've made this radio station, and we can't do it without you. It's that simple.
So we have until 13 days, as you mentioned, and we need to get to the $300,000 point, and you know, WAMC.org. Do you still get the tote bag?
They can choose a tote bag, yes. It's made of recycled soda bottles.
You put your ice water in the tote bag?
I think we should do that, yeah.
Is that how that works?
It's the locked box tote with a picture of the locked box on it. And it's, you know, I had seen the Food for Thought series, I guess it was in May. It was a documentary called Bag It. And it really has changed my whole approach to our plastic products and our environment and in our lives. And so that was part of the reason that I wanted to try to find a material that was sustainable.
Yeah. And in fact, little plastic thingies in the ocean are
those
killing
microbeads.
Everything.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty brutal.
Bad.
Well, I can't do anything about that, but I can
get people
a lockbox tote.
Because the more we recycle, obviously, the less we'll throw in the ocean.
Right. Well, we got to all do our part.
That's all we can ask.
WAMC.org.
Or you can call us at 800-323-9262, and we will take your pledge on the phone as well.
All right. We will take a break. We'll be back. We'll start the panel. We'll introduce the group, and we'll get to business. Felicia, thank you very much. We'll be back right after this.
Support comes from Putnam County Tourism. Historic sites, farm-to-table dining, kayaking, hiking, biking, and more. Putnam County, where the country begins. Online, visit putnam.org for event calendar. Adirondack Scenic Railroad announcing the fall 2015 fall foliage trains departing from Utica's Union Station, Thendara Station, Saranac Lake Union Depot, or Lake Placid Station. AdirondackRR.com. Manix Marketing, Glens Falls, New York, since 1996, a web design and internet marketing firm working to help businesses get found on the internet. ManixMarketing.com. And Schoharie Valley Farms, home of the Carrot Barn, a farm for all seasons with valley-grown fruits, vegetables, and greenhouse crops, local meats and dairy, plus a full deli, SchoharieValleyFarms.com.
I'll be standing tall.
Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable panel for this Tuesday, and it's very nice to have you with us. Let me introduce the panel. Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Joe. Brilliant, beautiful day.
A brilliant, beautiful day indeed, and how could it not be? Now, why are you grimacing?
I'm not. Okay. I'm simply listening intently.
Okay, great. We also have our our dear friend who's listening intently, Rosemary Armeo, is here, who is the University at Albany journalism professor and an investigative reporter, and always a thrill to have you here. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mike Spain is with us. He's the associate editor of the Times Union newspaper. And Mike, we thank you for being here, as you are each and every Tuesday.
Thank you.
And whenever else, we beg you to be here. Let's get to the topics at hand. Scott Walker is out of the presidential race. We found this out 6 o'clock yesterday that...
Yay, bye-bye. Bye-bye, see ya. I really didn't like him. I'm so glad he's gone.
Okay, but I remember when he got in the race, we were saying this guy can really be a contender.
That's right.
So what happened?
Trump. He got trumped. As they say in bridge. He got trumped.
Well, yes, he certainly did get pushed aside by Donald Trump and all the power that the Trump campaign had to get backers. But he turned out to be a terrible candidate anyway. He was getting desperate. He wasn't a good campaigner. He didn't have good strategy. He apparently thought because the Koch brothers were early supporters of his, he had it made, and he just... He was doing terribly.
And then there's that hair. Oh, my gosh. He didn't even look good.
No, well, he didn't. Hair was an issue.
Now, wait a minute.
I believe his was worse than Trump.
No. He wasn't trying to comb over the balding spot on top of his head.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Rosemary, I think maybe what you're doing here is objectifying men. And I don't know that that's right.
Yeah, that was it. No, I think there's many reasons not to like Scott Walker. He's a union buster. He was against tenure and strong colleges. He was against transparency. He took $900 million, will the Koch brothers take that back now from very conservative,
well, we
anti-American
it for a
feelings?
Race, right?
Yeah, I guess not.
Well, by dropping out now, but keeping, he'll be able to keep the Political Action Committee there for future. I mean, it's pointed out that he's rather young and he'll get another bite at the apple. But one of the things he did, you know, his famous anti-union stance in Indiana.
Wisconsin,
I mean. Yeah. I get all those states mixed up. Wisconsin.
Only I wrote a book about the Wisconsin legislature.
That's right, Alan. That's
it.
Right.
As
well right.
As well,
in Wisconsin, he was a union buster. He has since compared his fight with the unions as something that'll prepare him to fight ISIS. Really bad. Comparing people in unions in America.
You're kidding.
He also proposed a wall between us and Canada. And,
right. For all those Canadians who are coming down, raking into our country. And then he's just alienated people. He said federal unions should be completely disbanded. I think that he proved to be immature, poor campaigner, and just not up for it. And then Donald Trump came along. So, boom.
Yeah.
So we were briefly talking about this yesterday. There was a New York Times story over the weekend about how this GOP strategy is kind of
is it working?
To expedite the winnowing down process that this has gone somewhat awry. We thought, and when I say we, I think pundits in general thought that people that after two debates, many more candidates would have dropped out. And yet we've only seen Two.
Perry and Walker. Who else?
No, I think that's it.
Yeah.
Well, I think part of his problem is that he didn't adopt the right kind of slogan. My idea would have been, he goes better with Coke.
Well, I do sort of like the track record that the Koch brothers are building up. They put tons of money behind, so far, losers. Good.
They apparently have much more money. And
we don't have to worry about them.
You don't have to worry about them going hungry.
It's hard to... I'm sort of happy that they can buy whatever they want, but so far they've been unsuccessful in buying American elections.
Is Jim Gilmore still in the race?
Jim Gilmore is not really campaigning, but he has not withdrawn.
He has not withdrawn from the race. Okay.
Former Virginia governor is a candidate, an announced candidate for the Republican nomination, and he's probably the least known. He's less known than George Pataki is nationally.
Hard to believe.
Yeah.
But he does have all those people who watch the Gilmore Girls for so long.
That's right, Alan. Scott Walker has urged others to pull out, other low performers, and coalesce behind somebody who can stop Donald Trump. So it seems very personal for him. It seems like he's pushing Bush or Kasich.
He could still be the vice presidential nominee, couldn't he?
Yeah, or some, maybe it could be the labor secretary. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe they put him down. Maybe they put him down where Andrew Cuomo used to have to be at HUD.
That's right. He could be at HUD. But they could find a place for him because he has a little bit of something to broker now that he's a candidate, I guess. He can support somebody.
So in the few minutes that we have here, haven't all of these candidates in some way, shape, or form been trumped?
Yes.
Perhaps Carly Fiorina has not been. She seems to be rising in the polls after the last debate. She seems to be taking on new prominence. She seems more comfortable and confident.
The Tonight Show last night.
She was on with Jimmy Fallon singing a song about her cat. But, in a funny way. it was funny.
In a very presidential funny way.
Well, the way presidential candidates are on the Tonight Show or the late night shows.
Let's not forget Clinton.
Who played
the saxophone.
A saxophone with Jay Leno. Yeah. And
that became his symbol. The saxophone became his symbol.
Or the other Clinton on Fallon pretending to reach for a pencil, and it was actually a glass of wine. That was brilliant.
That was
a glass of
wine.
Of wine. Oh, I see.
It was funny. You had to see the clip.
It's for those of you who don't want to stay
for
up to 11:30.
Who got to sleep at 7:30 like Alan.
Tell him how you can see it anytime.
It won't do any good.
Okay. All right.
Not only that, but then you have to not do something else. My day is busy.
Click, click, click.
All right. One episode of Rifleman. And you could see all of these clips.
To which I respond, I couldn't do that.
All right. Do we have a couple of letters?
Do we?
I don't know.
Okay.
If we do, great. If not, I'm going to bring up another topic.
Hi, panel. Did you see Ted Cruz on Colbert last night?
That's right.
The cognitive dissonance between the Republicans' love of Reagan and whether they would support his policies today is amazing. If Reagan were running today, he wouldn't be allowed in the Republican Party, and that's Cody.
I think Trump is going to be on Stephen Colbert tonight.
Tonight, yes.
Oh, boy. Well, we just haven't seen enough of Donald Trump. I'm going to stay up for that.
Right. William says, if Trump became president, would he tell Putin to go fly a kite?
You'd call him stupid if he didn't cooperate, probably.
I don't get that. Is that something he said on one of his television programs, go fly a kite? I get that now. Okay. All right. Today is National Voters Registration Day. Americans have to register and vote if they wish to stop the Scott Walkers of the world. The Republican presidential race have so many desperados. Yet the local races are where it's at. The Cook County clerk from Illinois spoke eloquently the other day on big money and power and why we must vote, said Rich. And Michael suggests that we auction off lunch with you guys, Joe and Ray and Rosemary, and you could have lunch with them over to the Itchy Bon or something like that.
And then they dump water on us at the end.
Right.
I think that's how that goes.
And Steven says, if you want to kill him, meaning me, kindly, have him eat a Big Mac with a shake and large fry.
I'd like to see that, actually. Do you think Alan
could be another fundraiser? I'm watching Alan eat a McDonald's.
When did that come up, by the way? We missed that. Was that in a meeting?
No. It was just off the cuff yesterday morning.
Oh, okay.
We said we got to do something, so why not dose Alan if we make it?
All right.
That's how we came up with the decision.
Of course, it would be on YouTube after it happened.
Oh, yeah. It'd be there forever.
Yes, it would be. It would go viral, as it were.
Isn't that copyright infringement on Lou Gehrig's disease? They did a huge fundraiser with dousing of.
See, that was a conversation that did come up.
Ah.
that was the whole thing that I brought up. I was asking about the meeting.
Was I at that meeting?
Well, that's what I was asking. Yeah. Had that all been vetted?
Well, but everybody gets ice water put on their head, don't they?
All right.
Since ALS started that.
Really?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's all right. You guys get it.
No, I see your point.
Okay.
You make a point.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back.
Maybe the Big Mac is a better.
Good morning and welcome back to the Roundtable and to our panel discussion. Nice to have you with us as always. We welcome your letters. Roundtable@wamc.org. Roundtable@wamc.org. Let us go on to some other topics. Of course, the Pope will be coming to the United States of America today, and we'll be coming to
Congress.
Philadelphia, yeah. Washington, and New York. Am I missing any place? No. Those three cities.
A good day not to drive a car into New York City.
Well, that would be Friday and Saturday.
Friday and...
Maybe Thursday
and Friday. Well, yeah.
He's leaving Saturday, I guess. From Philadelphia.
There you go. So the big event is in Philadelphia, where there will be a public mass, an outdoor mass. And, of course, he will be speaking to Congress on Thursday, which we will be airing here on the Roundtable, probably in the 10 o'clock hour on Thursday.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
And then also he will be, of course, arriving in Washington.
He's going to fly to Andrews Air Force Base. and be met, I guess, and right from Havana to Andrews, I guess, a direct flight.
And then events all day tomorrow, the Congress on Thursday.
Right. I think he's going to have lunch with homeless people. And I don't know when it is during his visit. He's going to visit some prisoners. He's going to try to emphasize during this trip, people at the edge, people who are not just rub elbows with the politicians and the rich and the famous. Although there's some of that also. There's a big show that I guess... Mark Wahlberg, the actor, is going to host, and it's going to have Aretha Franklin and some other big-name stars who are going to perform for him.
Will the homeless be invited to that?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. Don't know. Yeah.
Well, the dignitaries from Albany are on their way down to meet him right now. In fact, they're at the airport. Ex-Bishop Hubbard and Vince Kalana.
Right. They're going to be a bishop's meeting in Washington, D.C. And then the local delegation will also have some people, a local delegation in Philadelphia, and there'll be some people from the Catholic Diocese of Albany attending the masses in New York City. One is going to be in, I think, Madison Square Garden.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then he's going to drive through Central Park, and a lot of people are going to see him there.
It's just like the Beatles coming to town.
It's very similar, the excitement of that kind of thing.
Yep.
I covered a papal mass in 1979 in Yankee Stadium, and it was like a big rock concert. People were just all excited, and vendors were selling pictures of the Pope, et cetera. And it was Pope John Paul II's first trip to the U.S. It's a pretty amazing thing. And people who aren't Catholic even come out to see it because it's an amazing spectacle.
Spectacle.
Yes,
right.
Indeed.
I would point out that tomorrow is Yom Kippur.
That's right.
Also religious.
Very solemn day.
It's determinant as to whether or not you're in the book or not.
I'm sure he will make note of it. He's extremely evangelical.
What I wonder,
ecumenical, is that it?
Yes, he certainly ecumenical. Is ecumenical. But do you know, Joe, or anybody know, if he's going to address Congress in English? He does speak some
English. My understanding was that it was going to be in English. There was a great NPR report. Sylvia Pajoli was...
That's right. I heard some of that.
And
she met him.
And she was talking about how that he was nervous. You know, he was nervous coming to this country because English...
He's never been here.
He has never been here. That English is a language that he speaks, but not fluently, not well.
Donald Trump could make fun of him. Hey, you come here, you got to speak English, Pope. Right?
Right.
We're ugly about it.
So I think that'll be interesting to see.
See how he carries it off. Yeah.
Well, we've just heard from Barbara, my old friend Barbara from Great Barrington, who says, if I won the auction, what auction? This is one guy wrote in and said, could we have, you know, a premium? Could I have lunch with just Rosemary? I've always wanted to quietly sit in with the round table panel. I believe I missed parts of the show that I would really enjoy. In other words, the discussion that goes on among you during the breaks. I believe a roundtable audience would be a very popular premium during the fun drive. Well, maybe we could work with some of
maybe
that.
Maybe we could put bleachers in here. We could have a whole row of people listening.
No, we've done it before. We could go to Linda.
And we talked about that. Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Felicia? Call me anytime. We can arrange lunch.
Felicia,
no problem.
Take a note.
Yeah, I think we already did.
Yeah, okay. Take a note.
Yeah, we got that. The other one, I mean, do you want to just have lunch with random people?
No. But
I do that all the time. I'm a reporter.
No, I love the idea of an auction, Joe. The idea
we can have an auction.
We could. What'd you say?
What?
We can have an auction.
We can?
Oh, sure. You can have an auction.
I think you have to make sure that you call it a certain thing.
Yeah, I didn't
think
Secretary
of State's office could be here.
Isn't
you
that
can't have a lottery.
Slavery?
You're not allowed to have a lottery. You are allowed to have an auction. Because public television does auctions all the time.
Okay. Good.
Huh.
So I win.
All right. I thought that was verboten. No, that we needed something.
So no, that's an auction.
Alan
you actually,
can
you've
auctioned
done
off.
Auctions on the radio, haven't you? When during your time on when you know you're giving something away, and say who will give the most for this?
No.
Well, you should.
Well, I was here again. I was told we couldn't do.
No auctions. You can do.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll save that for another day.
That's a good idea, Barbara. Thank you.
Okay, cool.
what? What happened now?
Nothing. I'm confused. Let me move on to other topics. Well, you know, the other thing, this article that I sent out was about the church in upheaval.
Yeah.
And the of the U.S. churches that obviously the immigrant population within the churches, and also the fact that so many are struggling to stay open.
Yeah, the juxtaposition in the New York Times story says that, you know, in certain parts of the country, the West and the South, but in the Bible Belt, actually, the church is growing. The Roman Catholic Church is growing, and it's primarily Hispanics who are behind that. People from Central America, not just Mexico, who've come to the U.S. to work and have stayed here and raised their families. And there's even masses in the capital region in Spanish because it's a growing population here. But they play that. They play a parish out in Merced, California, for this story, against one in Philadelphia, an old ethnic parish that was built in the 1890s. The church was a beautiful church built in the 1890s by German immigrants. And that typifies a lot of Northeast cities that have these beautiful ornate churches where they have 50 people in the pews on a Sunday morning and they can't stay open. They can't sell them. In some cases, they're torn down and that really offends the community. And yet it's very hard to sustain it. There's very few priests. One priest is 90 years old in this article and he's still saying Mass because there's a shortage of priests and he would have long retired. And you know, it's a very, very... a different church than it was in the 1960s and 50s when it was mostly Northeast ethnic Catholics. But there are still quite a few Catholics in the church. More than half the Catholics younger than 25 are Hispanic, and that's where the population is. That's where the church is going.
Anything?
No.
Okay. We're going to take a break. We'll be back and talk about other topics, get to some letters as well. Roundtable@wamc.org.
Support comes from Unusual Wedding Rings and More in Crawford Square, North Street, downtown Pittsfield, a jewelry emporium providing traditional and non-traditional engagement, wedding, and anniversary rings for conventional and same-sex couples. UnusualWeddingRings.com. The 2015 Saratoga Showcase of Homes, celebrating 20 years of new homes from builders in the Saratoga region. Weekends through October 4th, SaratogaShowcaseOfHomes.com for tickets. and Shawangunk Wine Trail, a self-guided tour of 14 wineries nestled between the Shawangunk Mountains and the Hudson River in Ulster and Orange counties. Tastings, events, and views of the Hudson Valley. Gunkswine.com.
Say you were, I didn't catch your name. Falling down to earth, down from a higher plane. Oh, it's been decades, say what did you see? Oh, I've been so lonely, won't you keep me company?
Good morning and welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. Let's go to the letters and then we have a few more topics to get to before the end of the show.
Oh, boy. And that's coming up, right?
we'll get there eventually.
It is coming up.
I don't know that this is true from David. If you go to Ireland, people show a lot of disdain for the Pope and Catholicism. I wish we had more skepticism like the Irish. Well, you know, that's true in a lot of different countries, including Italy, by the way. But it's also that there's an overwhelming group of people who don't show disdain, who go to church and who really love the church. I think we have to be careful about that kind of thing. Let's go to Irene.
Let's go to Ireland.
Okay. And Irene says, PBS in Northeast Pennsylvania have auctions yearly on a myriad of items. Speaking of auctions, the New York Military Academy in Cornwall, New York, has gone bankrupt and the place will be up for auction soon. Donald Trump's alma mater has gone under, and there's some talk about it, Donald Trump saving
it. Bailing it out?
Yeah, saving it.
I can afford to.
And, okay, I'm trying to keep up.
He's got to save his money.
Oh, boy.
No. Next topic.
Yeah, wait a second. Next topic. Next topic.
Okay, good.
Next.
Thank you. Let's move on to other stuff. And so not only is the Pope visiting, but we should mention that the President of China is visiting. And
in some ways, Joe, I'm sorry to interrupt. That may be a more important story than even the Pope, because the Chinese are a huge force in this world right now.
Economic,
and they are also showing a certain amount of bellicosity. Mm-hmm. And as we hear this morning, that the Japanese are eschewing pacifism and authorizing foreign forces. It's because of what the Chinese, in many ways, are doing within their sphere of influence. And so I think this visit. On top of all the things that we know that the Chinese are doing, or we suspect that they're doing, is a very important thing for Obama to do. And he has, you know, this reputation among the Republicans that they're trying, which I don't believe, they're trying to say he's, you know, feckless, that he's not really strong enough with our potential enemies. And so I think this is a very important story, and I hope it is not underplayed.
No, it's worth talking about. He's going to meet in Seattle with people from various tech industries from across the United States. More and more, our tech companies are relying on China not just to manufacture the devices that we all use, but actually to sell our devices to the Chinese. Apple Computer sells now 25% of its products to Chinese. Used to be just a couple of percent. So there's companies like Apple that are dependent on the Chinese. And as tensions rise between the U.S. and China over, them being militaristic in their sphere, as you say, and also over these allegations of hacking by the Chinese government into U.S. government computers
and probably into the Apple computers where they steal their intellectual secrets.
Right.
And then do them knockoffs for less.
There's all kinds of problems with that. And those are the topics that are being talked about. Of course, the Chinese economy is having a little bit of a blip right now. It's not exactly sure what's going on, but in the West, they keep it very secret, but in the West, it's been observed that their productivity is down and their rate of growth is slowing while they're continuing to grow. And when, you know, they used to say when America catches a cold or sneezes, the world catches a cold. Well, I think that's true with China. Big
it
time.
Is.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting to see how this will play back at home in China, too, that the president is here in the heartland of capitalism. But I think that currency and stock markets have to be very much on the table during this visit. And I like it that we're talking to people that we have lots of contact with, but you're usually just say, no, there's no points of connection. There are actually many between the United States and China.
What do we think we can get? I mean, there's obviously tensions are high, so what can we get out of a visit like this? There's a state dinner on Thursday night.
I just watched the state dinner
on
House of Cards, and that's all I can think of. I hope Betty doesn't kiss the first lady.
Good point.
Yes.
I think a lot of this is preliminary. I'm not sure that you're going to get some big breakthrough in this. It's part of a whole process in diplomacy that moves very slowly, and that President Obama has been, from the first, very determined to build a relationship with China that's not completely adversarial. This is just one more step in that process, I think.
It'll be a busy week at the White House when they're hosting the Pope earlier in
the
week,
the
and then the President of China.
Can you imagine? Yeah.
And then there's the question which we addressed yesterday briefly, which was, how will the Pope go over in the Republican Conservative Congress, which couldn't wait to invite him, thinking that they would have another Netanyahu type of experience.
Right.
And now they, and we got into a lot of discussion about what a petard was. Now they may have hoisted themselves.
Yeah, Boehner's been trying to get a Pope to come to address Congress for 20 years, according to some reports. But he didn't know which Pope he'd get. He's getting a Pope that
didn't bargain for this.
This is a Pope that may likely come and chastise the U.S. for its great wealth and at the same time all the poverty. It may chastise us for the way we're treating immigrants, and it may chastise us for our contributions to global warming. So a lot of people are going to be politely clapping, but it might make a few politicians nervous.
It is something that was brought up in this NPR report yesterday that I heard, that this Pope is known. The question was posed, what can we expect from his remarks to Congress? And the answer was, well, we don't know, because there is what will be on the paper, and then he will set the notes aside.
Yeah. Which he does.
And
he
will go, and he'll go off the cuff. And
Love it.
Yeah, so that'll be really interesting.
Well, if you look at what he has been doing in Cuba, he hasn't been directly confronted the Castros. You know, he met with Fidel, who was ill, of course, and he met with Raul. He was greeted by Raul Castro, who's the head now. And you know, he has spoken about the general dynamic of freedom and freedom of religion, where that's a big issue down there, letting the Catholic Church and its members worship freely, which has been, I guess, restrained by the Castro communist government over the years. And, you know, he hasn't been anything but gracious and very an outpouring of positive greetings, but he's also made general statements that have been interpreted as criticizing the communist regime and some of its, but he hasn't been direct. So he's diplomatic, if nothing else.
And the picture with Castro,
yeah,
was so interesting, as Castro, the former dictator, was wearing his Adidas jacket.
Yes, it was a little promo for Adidas. They contrasted it to when Fidel Castro was greeted by the previous Pope, Pope Benedict, where he was somewhat combative and asking a lot of questions. He was he could be a little older and not as well, but he was much more deferential to this Pope, who's from South America, who's a Latin American. So he should maybe connect with him better, who knows.
I want to get to the final story we have here, too, which is a new survey, a study that has been released. And I've actually seen a couple of numbers on this, but basically it says that more than 20% of female undergraduates in an array of prominent universities said this year that they were victims of sexual assault and misconduct, echoing findings elsewhere, according to one of the largest studies ever of sexual violence. This survey says 1 in 5, I've heard as high as a quarter of all female undergrads
huge story
in one of the in one of the reports. The survey is from the Association of American Universities. It drew responses from 150,000 students at 27 schools, including most of the Ivy League. Armed with extensive data on the scope of the problem at their own campuses, leaders of big-name universities said they are mobilizing to confront sexual assault as never before.
It's interesting to me that this seems revolutionary, that this seems like a surprising thing. During the Clarence Thomas yes. confirmation hearings, numbers came out about how many women had suffered harassment in the workplace, and it was about a quarter. It's similar to this. And I was like, oh, wow. Everyone was shocked by it. This has been going on for a long time. It's a problem of our—
Well, the numbers in the military?
The numbers in the military, right, exactly the same thing. There's a problem in our acculturation, men and women. Men seem to think it's okay to press a demand for, let us say, attention, and women hide it. They just accept it as well, that's just men, you have to put up with it. And the attitude is changing. That's a good thing.
Slowly. I think there, just as in the workplace back in the 90s, early 90s, when Clarence Thomas was, facing his hearings to be approved for the Supreme Court, which he eventually was, people seem to be in denial about that level of sexual harassment in the workplace. And yet it kicked off a whole new awareness, and there were sexual harassment training programs and a lot of awareness followed that into up to today. So,
Well, let me just edit that a little bit.
Okay.
There was not a surprise on the part of women. We all just looked at each other and said, oh, yeah, of course. And the men were the ones who were surprised. The men that is in charge of corporations and all the training programs that went in, it was a wake-up call to the entire culture, not just to the victims of it.
Right. I think a lot of people were either in denial or just clueless about it. And you're right, men. Women were much more aware of it. And today, it continues to exist in the workplace, but there are a lot more safety, a lot more education programs ended on,
And this is definitely happening in the military.
It's a positive trend, but it hasn't gone away.
No, it hasn't. Yeah. But on the campus, you're seeing the same thing, that women, again, we're all aware of it because you talk among yourselves, but you just accept until there's this excuse to say, okay, now we're going to do something about it.
Now the institutions are aware.
Correct.
They cannot deny it. There was all kinds of studies that showed this in the past.
They could be severely punished.
That's right.
For not paying attention. And I think that's important. The issue of harassment, of course, is tremendously, every day you see something, some testimony in a trial for a police department where they say very specific things that had been said to people and posters and things of that kind. That's terrible. But it gets far worse when you talk about the dating relationships in which people go, and guys are much more powerful often than the women that they're with. And that is where you really get some very bad situations. Women go out with guys. There is an expectation that there's going to be sex on the part of some of these guys, and they force it on the women.
Yeah, women hold a lot of responsibility for this, too. For too long, we've accepted rape, sexual assault, all those related issues as something that was on us. We had to be ashamed of it. So something happened, we stayed silent about it. The exact opposite is what's needed. It's time to say, this happened to me. It should not have. Here's the guy who did it. I'm naming him. Go get him. And insisting on that. And it is happening slowly, but you still see lots of rape and other crimes that don't go reported. You see women brutalized who do come forward. They're made to be shamed. There's a long way to go, but women have to really take a different stance on this than they have in the past.
Well, you would hope that people would behave because they're enlightened, understand what a great injustice this is to treat women this way.
Right.
But if they can't be enlightened, they ought to know that there's going to be consequences if they behave this way. And this is going from the workplace into the college. I don't know if it's in the military yet. It seems dismal in the military. It seems still pretty bad on college campuses.
Right.
A lot has to happen. But at least it's coming out. And part of correcting a problem is understanding how severe it is.
And one of the things, and we just have about a minute left, but one of the things that is, you know, obviously a part of the story is what universities are doing about it, and saying that they are rushing to take care of this problem. But again,
they're under a lot of pressure.
Yeah, it's absolutely, as well they should be. But how do you rush to a problem like this?
Yeah.
Well, you set up all kinds of apparatus. You have committees. You have you know the governor of New York has identified this as one of the most important problems that we have in New York, and he's giving his weight to the whole thing.
Yeah, colleges in New York under the law are required now. Oh, all colleges, not just the public colleges, to have sexual harassment training for all the students as they're coming in, and they have to continue this training. They have to have counselors available. They're working with a special unit in the state police that's going to help colleges investigate and prosecute these cases. And you know, it's a step in the right direction. Some people think it's difficult to do, but this is at least...
Well, there is a danger in rushing, and we saw that in West Virginia, where a case picked up by Rolling Stone to sort of illuminate the whole issue was completely bogus, and because the reporters and editors in this case were willing to listen to the woman to kind of suspend all the vetting and checking that we normally do in any other story, a false rape case ends up becoming the poster for assault on campus. Yeah. So it looks like the whole thing is bogus, that it's just all made up. That was very harmful.
The survey proves otherwise.
Yeah, it does. And how that's what has to be publicized and drilled in over and over again.
We're out of time, but I do want to just quickly say that the incidents would fit both the definition of rape or sodomy and other would be defined as sexual battery.
Right.
That's
why it's and every state calls them different things. It's hard to generalize.
Get a handle on it. Thank you all. Roundtable WAMC.org, and I'll see you tomorrow, Rosemary. I'll see you, Mike, tomorrow.
Yep.
Excellent.
You'll be off tomorrow. No, I'll be praying.
And you'll be praying, and and we'll be back on Thursday.
Pray for all of us, Alan.
You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.